A little something about me that you need to know is this. I love music. I was a musician for a long time, and so I love going and seeing live music. And one of the very important things that I do anytime I go to a concert, before I walk out the door, I guarantee that there is a pick in my pocket. And you're like, Brent, why would you need a pick in your pocket when you're going to listen to music? Here's the reason. I'm convinced that in my life, sometime, I'm going to be at a concert, and all of a sudden, the spotlight is going to go automatically in the crowd to me, and Bono is going to pick me out of the crowd. He's going to pull me on the stage and be like, Brent, we've been waiting for you to just stand on the stage and play and sing. You guys have seen this all happen, right? It happens in concerts. And in my life, I guarantee you, I'm convinced, like, do I know the main song from this band if I get pulled on the stage? Because I won't need to know that I can do that. And so I'm expecting, like, in my mind, it's Bono, we're in Soldier Field or some vast venue, and With or Without You starts playing, and they just turn the lights on me, invite me to the stage, like, it's your time to shine, go get it, Brent. That's what I think is gonna happen. And I know that that's silly, but honestly, that's what I hope would happen one day. In fact, it's often a joke for me. I'm like, I hope one of the band members, like, falls and hurts themselves so I could jump on the stage and play for them. Not really. I don't want him to get hurt, but I would just like to play music. You guys are getting uncomfortable. I'm just joking around. It's okay. But here's the reason, right? We all want to make a difference. We want to make a difference and be recognized. Don't act like I'm crazy for this. Every boy that I know in their driveway said, it's the champion for the championship. 3, 2, 1. And we lofted a massive three-pointer. Or when we stood with our bats, we said, World Series, game 7, bottom of the 9th, full count, right? And here comes the pitch, because we all want to hit the grand slam. There's something about us that wants to make a difference, that wants to be recognized for the things that we do. Recently, I'll show you how messed up this is in my brain. Recently, I was in a room with 12 people. And there was a guy who stood up and sang 3 songs for us. This guy was a 90 CCM guy, and he literally was on every youth group playlist. Remember when you actually had a mixtape? He was on every youth group mixtape I had in the 90s. And here he is singing, doing these songs, incredible. And I'm like, in this moment, is he gonna ask me to sing? Is he gonna ask me to play? I don't know any of his songs, but I just think, I wanna be a part. I wanna make a difference. I wanna be recognized. Don't act like I'm the only one who does it. We all do it in our own way. And the problem with this is it's the absolute opposite of what we've been talking about in Philippians. That the scriptures throughout the book of Philippians, these are some of the lessons we learned. We've learned that it's not about us. This is what Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others more than yourself. Everyone should look out for the interest of others, not for their own selves. We've learned it in the way Christ actually lived his life. And we're supposed to adopt his attitude. He emptied himself by becoming a human. And not only did he empty himself, he humbled himself to the point of death, right? It wasn't about him. It was about something else. And then often, many of us are like, okay, but there's other lessons that Philippians have given us that when we don't get our way, we're not supposed to grumble and complain about anything. So as Christians, we know that this, I want to make a difference, I want to be recognized, is wrong. So most of us are very externally humble, but internally, we all want to be pulled on the stage in whatever version that we have. For you, maybe it's not music, but it's being recognized. It's being spotlighted in some way or fashion. And here's what we know. Is that even if that's what we want, God knows our heart. He presses into our heart. The scripture says in 1 Samuel 16:7 says, humans do not see what the Lord sees. For the human sees what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. And so, guys, if we're honest, we wanna make a difference. We wanna be recognized in our own lives. However, we need some examples. We need some Christian examples in front of us of how we're supposed to embody what we've talked about so far in Philippians. And so last week, Daniel taught us about Timothy. And Timothy was an incredible character. He was one of the sent ones. Daniel talked about how he was such an incredible follower and that he also had care. And this week, we're going to talk about Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. Chances are, you've never heard his name, or maybe you heard Daniel mention him last week, and you're like, who's this Epaphroditus? In fact, all week, or when I was preparing for this sermon, I called him Epap for short, right? It's like, how Epaphroditus is just a long, kind of unusual name for us. It's not a biblical name, and most of us don't know what it is, but if we'll listen to the life and character of Epaphroditus, I hope that you'll see he's going to be an example of how we can make a difference. And so check this out with me. So let's read his text. This is Philippians 2, starting in verse 25. I hope that you bring your Bible. We want you to read out of the text to know that this is from your word. But if you don't, that's okay. We also have it on the screen. So let's read Philippians 2, 25 through 30. But I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need. Since he has been longing for all of you and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was so sick that he nearly died. However, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have to have sorrow upon sorrow. For this reason, I am very eager to send him, so that you may rejoice again when you see him and I may be less anxious. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and hold people like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life. Because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me. I want to give some context for this about the timeline of what we're dealing. Now, let me show you a timeline on the screen. There's something like scripture says that that Philippians was written around AD 50. Okay, so around AD 50 is when the book of Philippians wrote. Paul went on with his missionary journeys, and now we're in AD 60. And what we find out is that the church of Philippi sent Paul a gift. And Epaphroditus was the guy who delivered it. He shows up with a gift. As he got there, Epaphroditus got sick and almost died with Paul when he was in Rome. And when he found out how sick he was, Paul then sent Epaphroditus back to Philippi. And they said, hey, would you make sure that he feels welcome and that he's honored for what he does? There's about a decade here of relationship that Paul has had with his church. And Epaphroditus is trying to join that when he's being a messenger. So let's look at this guy named Epaphroditus, because there's so much to learn from him. And here's the thing, that kind of the concept today is complete your mission in the attitude of Christ. Complete your mission in the attitude of Christ. Let's look at what Epaphroditus' mission was. Paul actually tells us exactly what it is in chapter 4, verse 18. It says this: but I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Epaphroditus' job was to deliver a care package to Paul. Apparently, the church in Philippi realized that Paul's in prison. We don't know what was in the gift, if it was financial, if it was food, if it was a cloak. We've seen other times in the scripture that a church is asked to send Paul his coat because he's cold. So we don't know exactly all that was in there. We assume it was some sort of gift to him, but he's to deliver a care package. He's traveling in the ancient world over 600 miles from Philippi into Rome. This is about 600 miles. That's about what the distance is between Denver and Des Moines. So it's quite a significant go. He's sending him in there. And here's the reason, Epaphroditus is the very reason that we have the book of Philippians. And for any other reason, Epaphroditus would just be a footnote in scripture. His name is not changed. He didn't go from Saul to Paul or Simon to Peter. It's a name that we don't even recognize. But even more than that, like check out what his name actually is. Epaphrodite, it's a transliteration of, or the meaning is belonging to Aphrodite. And Epaphrodite was a pagan god of sexual love. I mean, he's not even got a great name to be a Christian. So just this footnote in scriptures. However, he makes an incredible contribution. And one of the reasons is because his assignment is in jeopardy. In the midst of this travel, somehow he gets sick. We're not sure of what his illness was. You can only imagine all that could go wrong on such a long travel in the ancient world. But it's so severe that in just a few verses, in five verses, Paul mentions that he almost died twice. Verse 27 says, indeed, he was so sick that he nearly died. Verse 30, because he came close to death for the work of Christ. But Paul also says, but God had mercy on him in the midst of his illness. And so all of this context happens, Paul's conclusion is this, that it's necessary to send Epaphroditus back. It's like it's super necessary because Epaphroditus longed to see the Philippians in his sickness. And who among us doesn't want to just go home when we're sick, right? When you're sick, you just want to go home. And so Paul wants to send him back. But also Paul had deep sorrow if he died serving him. He's like, listen, go back to your home because I don't want you to die on my watch, Epaphroditus. And so the question is, why is this story of Epaphroditus in the scriptures? And I think that there's a point here that we can learn. The insignificant work becomes significant when you do it in the attitude of Christ. Look, when UPS drops off a package for me, I don't make much note about it. In some sense, you're like, is Epaphroditus just an ancient UPS man from the Church of Philippi to Paul in Rome? And the answer is, the way that Epaphroditus carried himself in his assignment made every bit of the difference. He is way more than just a delivery man for a care package. And we see this because Paul, in this text, gives us an incredible assessment of who and what he was. Look at verse 25 with me again. But I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need. We see this picture, this intimate picture of what Epaphroditus has meant to Paul. He says, he's my brother, my co-worker, my fellow soldier. He kind of, in these terms, he starts with a very broad sense. You're my brother, you're my co-worker, and then you're my fellow soldier. Look, this intimacy comes down with him. Think of it this way. He uses this kind of technology, or these words of this fellow soldier. So it's kind of this way. Hey, we're in the army together. And not only are we in the army of Christ together, we're in the same company, we're co-workers. And not only are we co-workers, we're fellow soldiers, like we're soldiers in the trench fighting the same fight together. Epaphroditus and Paul are incredibly close and intimate. He's not just a delivery man, he's a dear friend to Paul. And it's also what you sent him for. The second part of 15 says, my brother, my co-worker, and my fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need. He was a messenger for the church of Philippi, but he was also sent to minister to Paul's need. He was there to show up. Paul was in need. He's in prison. And Epaphroditus just shows up to care for Paul. And so it's like, oh, he just did a nice deed. No, this deed was actually life risking. Verse 30 says, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me. So Epaphroditus isn't just being a nice guy, he's risking his very life to serve the mission he was on. So here's Epaphroditus's character. He completed the assignment in the attitude of Christ. Can you imagine Epaphroditus? He had every reason to bail. It would have been super hard to travel in the ancient world, 600 miles, but he didn't. When he was sick, he could have bailed, but he didn't. Epaphroditus exemplified and embodied the very character of Christ. I think of this, the words that we've heard about Christ recently. As we've gone through the hymn of Philippians 2, the thing that you've memorized, here's what Epaphroditus did. And it's one of the reasons that scholars believe that he brings up Epaphroditus and Timothy right after the Philippians 2, because the rest of Paul's letters, he talks about people at the very end of what he's doing. But here, after this huge theological context of what who Jesus is, we see these examples of this man. And here's the idea. Epaphroditus considers others better than himself. He's delivering the message and ministering to Paul. And he was saying, Paul, you're more important than me and my comfort on the travel. He didn't exploit his rights. No one would have been mad at Epaphroditus if on the way when he gets really sick, if he's like, hey guys, my health. Right now, I'm not gonna finish it. I'm gonna come back to Philippi. I'll get a little better and then I'll finish my assignment. But Epaphroditus, he doesn't exploit his rights. He still wants to serve. He emptied himself and he kept going and he didn't grumble or argue about all the things that were going on. We've all known that guy, haven't we? They serve, but they tell you the whole time how bad it is. Epaphroditus could have shown up and was like, Paul, no one else from Philippi wanted to take the trip, so I did, and I got sick, and did I give up? No, I kept going. We've known that person, we've been that person who does something, but we complain or argue the whole time about it. Epaphroditus exemplified who God was, and he shows up and ministers to Paul. This reality is this, is that Epaphroditus completed his task in the attitude of Christ. And so this morning, you should probably be like, great story, Brent, but I'm not a church leader and I'm not Epaphroditus. And honestly, this text means something to me because we've sent out Austin and I've been sent from Keystone to go encourage Austin at different times. I've been sent to some other churches in our network to be an encouragement for them at times. And so it's honestly, this text has challenged me of what churches should we be encouraging? What churches should we send people to be a blessing? In fact, I'm eager when Daniel goes to Bloomington Normal and some of you go with him to show up preaching and to encourage you. So this text has meaning to me in there, but for most of us, it doesn't seem like we don't plant churches, but here's the reality. There's plenty of opportunities for us as Christians and Christ followers to serve. And Epaphroditus is such an example for us. And for us, for all of us, most of the times when we're serving, in fact, as I know in America, what you're doing to serve is not risky. It's just inconvenient. There's not much that we could do as a church or you could do in your neighborhood that is a risky thing to serve Christ, but it's just something that it might inconvenience you for a little bit. So let's just take his example and put it into our lives. What about this? Do you serve like Epaphroditus in your family? Do you serve like Epaphroditus in your family? You have a role and a responsibility in your house. And if you're a spouse, one of your major responsibilities is to serve each other. If you have children, one of your jobs is to raise them up, to encourage them, to train them in godliness. If you're a child, I know you don't like this sometimes, but one of your jobs is to honor your parents. How are you doing on your assignment? How are you doing in fulfilling the assignment, the clear teachings that you're to do in your house? Are you completing your assignment in the attitude of Christ? So here's my question. Does your spouse, your kids, maybe you don't live with your family, but you live with a roommate? Would your spouse, kids, or roommate say of you, you're my brother or sister, you're my coworker, you're my fellow soldier in knowing and following Jesus? Would that be something your family would say of you? Because that's what's said of Epaphroditus as he completes his task. It's not just in our homes, but it's also in our churches, at Keystone. There's so many areas to serve the body in our church. Through serve team, through connection groups. There's so many ways to serve in this church. And so here's a question of how are you serving? Are you completing your task in the attitude of Christ? And here's a diagnostic question. Who at Keystone, does anyone at Keystone say of you that you are my brother, you're my sister, You're my co-worker. You are my fellow soldier in knowing and following Jesus. Would anyone say that of you? Because there should be that relationship. There should be an assignment inside the church. And this should be true in your life, where you serve or where you work, where your neighborhood is. Does anyone say of you, oh man, this is my brother, this is my sister, this is my coworker, my fellow soldier? Here's what I think. We often don't make a difference because we're unwilling to do the assignments that are given to us in the attitude of Christ. Let's talk about in our home. Maybe you've been guilty of this. I'm gonna do the dishes, but I'm gonna do them so loud that everybody in this house knows that I'm not happy about doing my dishes. Anybody, that happened in anyone else's house? Just the dysfunctional mentors, great, awesome. But there's areas in our home where we're supposed to serve one another. We're supposed to care for one another, but we may do it, but we do not do it with the heart and the attitude of Christ. Or in this church, maybe there's an area where you are serving, or in the way you could have a bad attitude is you passive-aggressively do not accept a planning center request. Some of y'all have done that. Or maybe you show up and you complain, you argue. But here, what Epaphroditus shows us is that we're to complete our assignment, no matter how hard it is, with joy and in the attitude of Christ. We see him, that Epaphroditus completes his assignment with the attitude of Christ, and that's when it made a difference. The emphasis of Epaphroditus through this whole text is not what he did, but how he did it. Because he comes with such a humble attitude. And what we see is that Epaphroditus did make a massive difference, because we would not even have the book of Philippians had Epaphroditus not completed his mission. Because he was willing to do it, because he was willing to move when it was difficult, when he was willing to keep going when he was sick, we have the book of Philippians, because it's at that occasion that he received the gift that Paul wants to write back and tell the Philippians, thank you. So, what are your assignments in life? In your home, maybe with your roommate. What are your assignments? Where are you serving Keystone? Where are you serving in your community, or maybe in your job or in your neighborhood? And my question is this for you. Are you completing your assignment in the attitude of Christ? Really? Not just externally, but in your heart. Are you living out and exemplifying, embodying the life of Christ? Because through Epaphroditus, we see it. He completes his assignment in the attitude of Christ. So he's completed his assignment. And then look what Paul tells the Philippians to do for Epaphroditus. Look at verse 29. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and hold people like him in honor, because he became close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me. Welcome him with great joy. Welcome him with great joy. You know what I think of when I think of that word? The word hospitality. Hospitality. I'm gonna give you a definition of hospitality. Hospitality is joyfully and thankfully receiving guests and friends. Paul's telling the Philippian church, look, because he served with such an incredible attitude, your job is to be hospitable to him, to welcome him in great joy. Have you ever been like the recipient of incredible hospitality? Some of you have incredible hospitality gifts. I'll remember one time, I'll never forget this, a hospitality demonstrated to me. When we first came to Keystone, which was Cornerstone Church of Ankeny, I was in Troy Nesbitt's connection group. And at the time, I was not pleased about this situation at all, because it meant that we had to find babysitters in Ankeny and drop off our kids and drive to Ames every Sunday night to be in a connection group. And I just wanted to be in a connection group in Ankeny, but that was kind of the arrangement, and it ended up being good. But I'll never forget what happened, is that every single time that I pulled up in the driveway, and anyone in our whole connection group pulled up in the driveway, Troy was on his porch like welcoming us. Welcome, we're so glad you're here. How have you been? And I remember just being like, wow. When people show up to my house for connection group, I'm usually like scrubbing the last dish. Kids, put that away. I'm trying to clean the house. And here he is welcoming me with joy. How good are you at hospitality? Especially for those who have been faithful in serving Christ. Are you hospitable? And sometimes we go, oh, well, that must be a personality thing. Like some people are really, and I do believe it's a spiritual gift, but it's not just a personality thing. Do you know that hospitality is a biblical thing? It's actually a requirement of an elder. 1 Timothy 1:7-8 says, an overseer of God's house, that's an elder, must be blameless, not arrogant, not hot-tempered, not an excessive drinker, not a bully, not greedy for money. Verse 8, and I don't think I actually put it on the screen for you, but hospitable. It's a requirement for an elder that we're hospitable, that we're welcoming, that we're joyful in those who are serving the Lord. And it's not just for elders, it's an expectation for us all. Romans 12:13 says this, share with the saints in their needs, pursue hospitality. This is for all believers, that we're to pursue welcoming people in joy and in thanksgiving. So how hospitable are you? Especially to those who are serving faithfully to the Lord. You know, we often don't think about this in America, but brothers and sisters, your home is an asset for the kingdom of God. It's not just for your relaxation. Do you understand that? Your number one asset. When's the last time you invited someone into your home and welcomed them in the name of Christ? Are people at home in your home? Do you joyfully, thankfully invite people into your home? When is the last time, maybe not in your home, but in this fellowship, you saw someone who didn't belong, who didn't know someone, and you welcomed them, and you made an outsider feel incredibly welcome? Because here Paul's saying, especially those who serve and serve faithfully, hospitably welcome them. Be thankful and joy for them. But then he tells them to honor Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, we're supposed to honor people, Epaphroditus, and people like him. Epaphroditus gave faithful and sacrificial service to Paul. Even if he wasn't a big name, even if he wasn't this huge giant in the faith, he still, because of how he served and how he completed his assignment in the attitude of Christ, he deserves honor because of the way he conducted himself so well. Honor is not something that we talk much about in church. We talk about it like for our military folks. We want to honor our military. We want to honor those that are in public service that do things for our country and for our nation with laws and for defense. We honor those people often. But do you know that honor is actually a scriptural imperative? I just want to read a few verses to you. Romans 12:10 says this, love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Romans 13:7 says, respect to those, you're supposed to give respect to those who owe you owe respect and honor those who you owe honor. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, the elders who were good leaders are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Like, one of the things that we're supposed to do is honor one another. One of the things that a mentor of mine told me is like, give honor where honor is due. And so how in the world do we honor people? How do we do that? Especially those who have served so faithfully. It's simple. Like, let's make it really practical. You give a compliment. You pray for them. You give respect. You be patient with them and give deference. Maybe you give a gift to them to say thank you for what you've done. I was recently around, I wish I could tell you this story, around a giant in the faith. And it was so fun because anytime he was in the room, we were a bunch of pastors together, anytime he was in the room, everyone would shut up and let him talk. Like, when you're in his presence, you have nothing to add to the conversation. Just sit down and shut up and listen. And Because there's certain honor that should be given for those who have served faithfully, like Epaphroditus. We don't even know if he was a massive person in the faith, but we know that he completed his assignment in Christ, in his attitude of Christ. And what happened is Paul said, hey, in the church, honor him and honor people like him who are serving so faithfully. So here's the thing. Most of us want to make a difference. We do. We all at different levels want to make a difference. Most of us honestly want to be recognized, or may I say in the context of this scripture, we want to be honored for the difference we make. Here's the thing. I doubt very seriously at a concert I'll ever be pulled onto a stage. I'm going to always have my guitar pick because a little boy can dream, right? Very few of us are going to have the winning shot. We're not going to be clutch in a moment. But there will be hundreds, if not thousands of times in your home, in this church, in your neighborhood, where you can complete an assignment that God's given you and do it in the attitude of Christ. So complete your assignment in the attitude of Christ. And as believers, listen, be on the lookout for those who are completing their assignment in Christ and welcome them with hospitality and honor and say thank you for what you did. You know, as I think about this in the context of Keystone, you know, I could, for the next hour, stand up here and tell you story after story of Epaphroditus is in our church. I could tell you how the elders and staff in this church serve so sacrificially, so much in the attitude of Christ, and it would be, they are worthy of honor. But I also want to take a moment to just celebrate some people who aren't on the stage all the time, who don't get to stand up like I do, that I believe are worthy of honor and worthy of hospitality. And here's the thing, I'm so hesitant to do this because this is through a limited lens and I have about 3 minutes to do it. I wanna just drop a few names to you. Kristen Dunwoody and Becky Bishop. Every single week for 4+ years, they have emailed members in our church, or they email the elders of our church with names and emails that our elders are supposed to email to check in and say, hey, how can we be praying for you? Such a small assignment that they have done so faithfully for 4+ years. And their little assignment with little faith, like their faithfulness to it, has turned into prayer after prayer after prayer of personal realities in the life of our church. There's a guy in our church named Dylan Dyer. There's no one on planet Earth that prays for me more than Dylan Dyer that I'm aware of. This morning, I'm about to preach. He's probably in here. I don't know where he's sitting. He comes to me every Sunday morning that I preach, and he lays his hands on me and prays that God would be able to speak through me. He checks in on my life, and he's like, Brent, how are you doing? How can I specifically be praying for you? I can't even fathom the amount of times God has heard Dylan Dyer's prayers and has used them in my preaching and teaching, in my own life. He checked in. He checks in all the time with me. No one's going to do that, but he should be honored in the life and service of this church. A few other people. The guys who run all of our screens. The guy who's sitting back there. Let's all look at Sam Kolars because he's going to get really embarrassed right now. I can't even count the number of times he and Brian Steffens and Andy Pelham and Josh Barrett have sat back there and listened to multiple of my sermons. You know, honestly, that's a risky position because you miss the slide for a song and everybody wants to look back at you. But faithfully, do you know how many praises have been sung in this church because they have faithfully served? Do you know how many people have read God's word because they have faithfully, in the attitude of Christ, they have never had a bad attitude. They set up, they tear down. There's long rehearsals. They've never had a bad attitude. And I could tell these names across all of kids ministry in every grade, of our safety teams, of hospitality who week in and week out welcome people into this place. Of different administrators who come in and do administrative things in our church over and over and over. So thankful for you. And maybe your name will never be put in scripture like Epaphroditus. But the example is set. What assignment have you been given? What assignment? Complete it in the attitude of Christ. How we do something, honestly, is way more important than what we do. It just is. Do it in the attitude of Christ. And then if you see someone who is being faithful to their assignment, that they're serving the attitude of Christ, church, could we be a church that is joyfully, that we're hospitable to those folks, that we give honor where honor is due and celebrate the faithfulness of Christ's likeness in the people in this place? Would you bow with me? So my question, I'm just gonna ask a few questions so you and the Holy Spirit can wrestle with this. What are some of the assignments that God has given you? In your family. Not just in your family, but in this church. Maybe it's in your neighborhood or spheres of influence. What are his assignments he's given to you? And the question for us this morning is, are you completing them in the attitude of Christ? And then, when you see those people, are you welcoming and hospitable to them? Are you giving right honor to those who are serving? It doesn't matter if they're on the stage or if they're changing diapers in Keystone Kids. Are you giving honor to people who are living the life of Christ in front of you? Because Paul says we should. Before we sing, some of you were like, Brent, there's not a chance in the world I could ever do some of that in the attitude of Christ. And the answer is this, you cannot do it in your own self. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, if he's not changed you into a new creation, it's gonna be impossible for you to embody his life. And so maybe this morning for you, you don't need to know your assignment, you need to know your Savior. And this morning, you say, I want to know this Christ who emptied himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, so that I could bow the knee and say, you are the Lord. So the best you know how, you just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and you are the Lord. Will you save me? If you have questions about that, I'll be around. Many of our staff will be around. We'd love to talk to you about that. But for those of us who know him, let's complete our assignments in the attitude of Christ.